Hey guys, Maestro here, bringing you episode 100 of Maestro on the Mic. Holy smokes. So I'm not really sure what, you know, the traditional thing you do is to celebrate 100 podcast episodes. I don't even know if that's like a thing. And as such, the episode is going to be just like any other Monday episode. But I figured I'd hop on beforehand during this little intro bit. And number one, thank you guys for joining me on this incredible ride, 100 episodes. It's been a little less than a year. I started this podcast last April, so a little bit less than a year because this is going to go out on March 18th. So just a little bit less than a year. And it's been incredible. The support that I've received, the DMs, the reposts, the likes, the messages, you guys are incredible. So number one and first and foremost, thank you. Absolutely. Thank you so very much. And point number two, I guess that I wanted to jump on and talk to you guys before the episode is kind of why I chose this to be episode number 100. So when I started this podcast, I really didn't have any specific goals in mind with it. I just kind of wanted to connect with people and talk to people and get a message out there, whatever message, you know, that might be. And within the intro, when I was writing up what I wanted the intro to say, like the theme song that I've come to love so much, I was sitting there thinking about like, what am I trying to convey? And the three lines that Jimmy Makeda to voice it for me. And the three lines that just mean so much is to join me on a journey to find your passion, see the bigger picture, and discover how movement unites us all. And you're going to see if you listen to the whole episode, which I hope you do, that is exactly what Leslie Trujillo, which is the guest that I brought on, is all about. Now, this episode is about a book that she and her sister and a friend wrote. And I brought her on to promote her book because I want to share the movement. I want to share her passion. I want you guys to see the bigger picture. This book is basically a compilation of letters from players to their younger selves, right? It's advice, it's storytelling, it's recounting what these individuals experienced and saying, hey, you're not alone. You're going to get through this. It gets better. It's basically, to me, everything I wish that I had growing up as a female athlete. And when Leslie told me about this book, I was like, I got to get you on. I got to do whatever I can to get this out there and share this message because this is my message. This is you're living the message that I'm trying to get out there. Right? Follow your passion. Find your passion. Follow your passion. See the bigger picture and discover how movement unites us all. And she's doing it. So it seemed only apropos, and it also fit really well in line with the time that the book was being launched. It seemed only appropriate that this became the 100th episode. So it would mean the world to me if you stuck around for the whole episode and then, you know, afterwards you have some time, use the link that I got in the show notes for you and go and check out that book and go get yourself a copy. Now, the link, I don't get any commission or anything like that. It's just a direct link to where you can get it. I literally just want to support Leslie and get this message out there, you know, support my friend, support someone who is living the message that I've been trying to spread and what this podcast is all about. So thank you again, 100 episodes. Here's to 100 more, that's for sure. But first, DJ, give me that heartbeat.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me a now dear friend. She goes by the name of Leslie Trujillo. She is an strength and conditioning coach for four local high schools. She's a Kinesis professor at LA Harbor College. But I brought her on because she is passionate as hell, and she's dropping a book, she dropped a book. And I want you guys to know about it. I want you guys to read it. And I wanted you guys to hear directly from the horse's mouth what it's all about. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Leslie.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Leslie is like the number one hype woman. She flew out for my Moving with the Maestro course. I hosted it at her sister's place. Shout out to DC Fit 10. Hosted it there in DC, and Leslie flew out and did a little guest lecture. But when she picked me up one of the days, she had my favorite song, Body Like a Back Road playing, and we had our own carpool karaoke, and it was just awesome. And she's like Miss Mindset. Like, I freaking love everything you're doing. So thank you, Leslie. Just thank you for being you.
Thank you. And thank you for letting us pick you up and do carpool karaoke.
It was so good. So, you know, I gave the little baby bio, but why don't you give the folks a little bit of insight as to who you are?
All right. Well, I played sports all my life, you know, grew up with active parents. So volleyball, basketball, soccer, tennis, swim, cheer. And then from there, I went on and I was a walk-on for tennis at the University of New Mexico. I'm from Santa Fe. And that's where I first fell in love with strength and conditioning. We had a strength and conditioning coach there, and she kicked our butt. And we also had a really amazing coach. I had some negative coaches in high school, and I had some coaches that maybe didn't know so much about the sport. They were just there, and they were great. I loved them, but yeah, they just, you know, didn't know about how to coach. And then in college, I had an amazing coach, and I fell in love with good coaching, and I fell in love with strength and conditioning. And then I decided to get my major in exercise science because I love sports, and I did that. And then from there, I moved out here to California, and I went through a trial period of figuring out what do you do with life after college and life when you're not an athlete anymore, and struggled for a while. Then I decided to go back to school. I got two masters. One was in education, and one was in kinesiology, sports management. And then I started in the strength conditioning journey. I was a GA at Loyola Marymount University. At the time, it was just my head boss and me. So we got to work with 17 sports there. And then from there, I went to University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. And I was a paid intern. So that was hard because I had two masters and my parents were like, why are you going for a paid intern? I had to go. And so I went, and I was in charge of women's golf, men's and women's tennis, the cheer team, and then helped with all aspects there. And then from there, I got an assistant strength conditioning job at USC. So I was there in 2004 to 2007, and I was in charge of women's basketball, women's soccer, women's golf, and helped with all areas of football. I was there when we were really good with Pete Carroll and Coach.
Yeah.
And we won the national championship. I was blessed to train, you know, two Heisman Trophy winners, All-Americans, get a national championship ring, just be around a culture of winning and a culture of championship mentality.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for that experience. And then I left, and then I came back, and I was interim there for a while, of men's and women's basketball and men's and women's volleyball. Then I left and went through a trial.
I love it.
I'm figuring out who am I if I'm not a strength and conditioning coach at a college, because they don't pay well. I was making $35,000 in LA.
Damn.
Yeah. And I was there at 5 a.m. and then I was get home like at 7 o'clock at night, and I had two masters.
Jeez.
And, you know, when you're young and you're single, it works out. But then thinking about your life, you're like,
Not forever.
Nope. And then so I had to like figure out my life, and I had to figure out myself, and I had some growing up to do mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and I had a lot of learning to do. Like, I thought that I was just going to come out and be like, hey, I'm a national championship coach. Like, me. But it doesn't work like that. And I had a lot of growth to do. And I struggled for a long time trying to figure that out. And then I was able to find coaches, find mentors, find support to help me not give up. Because there was a time where I almost gave up. Like after all of that, I remember I was going to apply at a job at Nordstrom because I was like, I can't pay my bills. I was in major debt. And I didn't want to go work for these gyms that I was applying for. And I was like, I'm done. And so I went and I was like almost going to cry. It was so hard for me because I was going to give up what I loved. And then I found a mastermind group of people and I found coaching and they're like, get over it, get over the past, pick yourself up, figure it out, believe in yourself, work. And then I did. And that was a really big life changer for me. And then went forward and built what I've built. I started teaching at Harbor College and I fell in love with teaching. I never thought I was going to be a teacher, even though I have a master's in education.
All right.
Yeah. Never thought. And then I just started training some high school teams and it just grew and I fell in love with it even more so. I always knew I wanted to do that. I just didn't know how it would happen. But as I grew myself emotionally, mentally, spiritually, then the business took care of itself. Mm-hmm. But I had to take care of myself first.
Yes. I love it, man. You're just giving such real life anecdotes and like people, they see the glitz and the glamour and they don't realize the struggle behind it oftentimes and like the path that it takes to get there and how some of the things that look like they're real shiny underneath they fucking may suck because you're making $1 and you're like, this is not sustainable, but how it can also serve as a building block to then go into the next thing. But so much of what's so important there is like, did you take the time to reflect and be like, what does this mean? Where am I at? What do I want to be doing? Like, what do I stand for? Who am I? And figuring that out, like personal growth and reflection. That's huge, Leslie.
Yeah. And
huge.
And I wouldn't change one thing about it. I wouldn't change one thing about it because in every struggle, there was an opportunity. In every struggle, I was able to learn more about myself and learn more about others and learn about what they need. And, at SC, Notre Dame, Loyola, like all the coaches I had, all the athletes helped form my philosophy for how I train. Yeah. And they help, like I still keep in contact with some of them now, but I've also noticed the journey. Like when you step back and you mm-hmm. watch the journey of these young athletes and then who they've become as people, you realize you do have such a huge impact in their lives at certain times. And so to appreciate each interaction that you have with a person, because you never know the influence you're having in their life for the long, the long haul.
Absolutely. I love that you framed it like that. And I think that, for my practitioners out there listening, appreciate the interaction you have with people. I think that so much of what we do, and because of the way schooling is and because of the way the model is, we tend to just view, our sessions as like, kind of like what we're doing to the patient, or instead of like, we're not working on the patient, you're working with the patient. It needs to be viewed as an interaction, because realistically, when you're doing anything that relates to movement, whether you're, coaching someone, you're doing physical therapy with them, whatever, chiropractic, it's affecting their movement. You can change their life because movement is such a tangible thing that that person can feel. And so when they get better at something, they feel a difference and they start to be able to, extrapolate and be like, all right, I did this and I got better and it changed. What else can I, apply this to in my life where I put in work and things can change and they can grow and be better. So you can absolutely change people's lives. And this is one of the things that really just drew me to Leslie. Like we were speaking, a few weeks ago at the course, the little happy hour that I do afterwards. And it's just to hear the passion that she has for what she does and the fact that she, grasps the magnitude of what she can do and what she is doing and how amazing it is. Like, I get to interact with humans and young humans every day and you can change their life. Like it's awesome. This is a good tie-in, Leslie. Tell me about, sometimes I wait a little bit later in the episode, but I think it's a good segue here. Tell me about this book.
All right. So I wrote the book.
Or tell
with,
them.
Yeah. I wrote the book with my sister, Deanna Cordova, and then Kimberly Jones. We collaborated together, and then we got a lot of other women to bring it in. So this is the story. It's called Dear Her, and it's letters to teenage girls and young ladies about lessons learned through education, athletics, and life. And I had this idea 10 years ago. I remember I was growing my business, and I was looking at, you know, what do I want to do? I love training athletes, but I know that it's much more than what, like what you said, it's much more than just the physical side. There's so much more to like the confidence and to character and to growth. And I believe that everything you do to train the body is related to your life. And and what you can learn from sports, you can apply to your life. And so we wanted to be able to give that to young ladies. And the reason why I was to young ladies is because we were young ladies ourselves. But there's a lot of, as an athlete, we have to be tough and we have to go hard and we have to go, 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 move, move, move. And you do, you have to do that. But there's also a vulnerable side that people don't talk about.
And,
you know, it's like, don't cry or, or, you know, don't be soft. Don't, you know, don't be a girl.
Exactly.
It's, we wanted to help share that. So I had this dream, this idea 10 years ago, and I shared it on stage. I was getting business coaching from another woman, and I was telling my story, how I wanted to interview all my old athletes that I have and have them give advice to the younger athlete. Like, what would you tell them looking back? What would be your advice? And then I was so excited about it because they confirmed that it would be a great idea. But then I forgot about it. Like, I got busy, you know, with training and hustling and paying bills and doing everything. And then at this time in my life right now, I went, we had a boy that came to live with us. His name's Alex Garcia, and he's an amazing guy. He's from New Mexico, where we're from, and he decided that he wanted to play, you know, college ball, and that was his dream. And he was going through some things in his life, so he came and moved, and he lived with us. And he lived with us for the past 2 years, and then he got a college scholarship. He played ball. He taught me a lot about sacrifice. Like, he left his family, his friends, everything to work hard. But we went to a parent-teacher conference, and the English teacher was giving us assignments. And she said, I want you guys to write a letter to these seniors. What would you tell them about navigating high school? And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a great idea. So I, you know, talked to Kim and talked to Deanna. We formulated the Convos with Coaches group because we wanted to bring voice to the female coaches out there, because as being a strength conditioning coach, a lot of times you go to these conferences and clinics and it's 80 to 90% male, you know, 10% female. We were looking at podcasts of strength conditioning ones, and there was like maybe one female here and there. And so that's why we started to shift that. But then we were like, okay, let's do this. So then we went and we asked all these women that we knew to write letters. We have 45 letters from women to either their younger selves or to an athlete on what they would say about the journey. And it's really powerful. It's really powerful. A lot of these women, when they wrote it, they're like crying. They're like, it's very for them. It was cathartic to look back. And the reason why we really wrote it is because I wanted these girls to know that they're not alone.
Yes.
And that there is going to be struggle. It's okay. And that you can make it through. You know, on the cover, my friend drew it. It's a butterfly, which, you know, the story of the butterfly is you have to go through struggle. Like, when you're in the cocoon, you're struggling, and that's how you build your strength. And if you don't go through the struggle, you're not going to be able to withstand. You're not going to be able to fly. You know? And then the bamboo, which is, you know, you're putting in all the work for like 4 or 5 years, you're growing your roots, and you can't see anything happening on the outside world. But underneath, you're growing these deep, deep roots. And then in like the fifth year, it all of a sudden sprouts big and high and thick, so that it can withstand all the storms, all the weather, all the sun, all the wind, you know. And it was because it was developing those roots. And we wanted to share that with them, and we wanted to give them an idea of hope that whatever they're going through, it may seem like the world is ended right then and right there, but it's not, and there's a way through, and there's people around you that have been through it and that will help you through it, and just to know how strong you are. So that's what
so the book good. Is about. So good. Damn. So good. And just the stuff you've touched on, like, I was a high-level athlete in a past life, and thank you for addressing the things that people don't want to talk about, but the things that are that make female athletes so special, right? Like the yin and the yang, and, you know, my providers out there, the biopsychosocial model, like, this is a human, and we tend to try and treat people as machines, and it's just like plug this in, turn to go, full, you know, full throttle, and then you're good to go. And you're like, no, a large part of what makes this person successful is everything that they bring to this, the passion that they bring to the game, which means that you will have the highs and the lows. You will beat yourself up. You will question everything. You will be insecure. You will wonder if you could have done more, if you should have done more, because that's part of it. It's the other side of things. You know, I love that the Nike Instagram ad with Serena.
Yeah.
That just came out too long ago. Like, about being crazy, because that there is a huge fucking double standard that exists where if women show emotion, you're being hysterical, which comes from the word, relating to the uterus and such. And so it's just like, you're not allowed to be this. You're supposed to be put together and refined and really good at what you do, but also not a human. And it's like, this is what makes women so incredible, is that there are both sides, and they will bring the fire. And if they get pissed off, they have every right to it and every right to express that. And so, you know, especially when you're in that vulnerable time of high school and college, and, you know, you work with teens and stuff, it's like, that is, geez, what a time. So I think this is a tremendous, tremendous resource. And, you know, you guys out there listening, I'm not saying that it's different for men, whatever. I am focusing on what's at hand and these female athletes and being able to relate to that. And man, this is so...
Yeah, like our vision too, we didn't want to like leave out the guys, you know, like in the future would be maybe a dear him. But Of course, this is dear to our hearts right now. And yeah. I believe that it's good for anyone to read because it's insight into the female journey of like some athletes, and everyone has a different view. But when you're reading them, like, the women don't know who shared it or what they shared. They just shared what they thought was important to them. And you'll mm-hmm. see common themes, and you'll go, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see things that are unique to other people and what worked for them. But I believe anyone that has a girl, that's worked with a girl, you know, that you can learn about what maybe they're going through and they're not saying. Yeah. That they struggled with and that could be holding them back, but they're not sharing that. Because... you know, with the body, you have things where it forgets how to move, or it's something that's holding mm-hmm. you back. So you're not efficient, right? You're looking at what can I do to make you more efficient? And you're giving them a tool to bring more awareness to that area. Well, the same thing happens with how we live. And we've forgotten something that's holding us back. It could be fear. It could be hurt. It could be shame. Mm-hmm. It could be guilt. Like, there could be all, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not smart enough. Like, what if I try and then I fail? Like, there's so many things holding us back, and you could be working all you want physically, but if you're not addressing that, the body's going to fall short of what it needs to do.
Exactly. It knows. It knows. Do you have a favorite, what is the word I want to say? Story edition?
Oh man. Yeah. I read them all, and they're all super powerful. You know, they're all super powerful. I know, like, I love, of course, the ones that were my former athletes, and then I've seen them grown up and be women and share their story, and you're like, yeah, they made it through. They made it through the struggle. Of course, I love my sisters, because she's my sister, and I saw her struggle through athletics, and to see what she's accomplished and done with, like, she has her own studio, and I love that. And of course, I love Kim's, because I know her struggle of being a bodybuilder and some personal struggles she's had in her life. I mean, every single one of them is
so good.
Yeah, but I would like to read you something. If I
Yes.
So this is, have you heard of Dr. Tara Rae Trent?
No.
So she's Oprah's favorite guest, and she wrote a book called The Awakened Woman. And it's about her journey. I mean, it's an amazing journey. It's an amazing book. But she wrote this quote, which I think summarizes this book. So I quoted her in our book. And it says, other women's successful actions are not your competition. They are your inspiration and your opportunities. Sometimes the best way to overcome our own silencing is to see how others are rising above theirs. When we truly understand other women's journeys, the contours their paths take, the steep climb and the silent terrain that becomes more visible when we share them, we can know for sure that we will also make it. We need the wisdom of those who have traveled the same path, these women pathfinders, the torchbearers, the ones who have been silenced but have found their redemption against all odds, claim their own voices, and then remember those left behind.
Man, that is so freaking powerful, especially in the female community. I see it. It's, you know, whether it's because there's insecurities, there's a scarcity mindset or whatever, but you see at times that it's difficult for people to celebrate others' success. Mm-hmm. And they feel like it's going to detract from theirs or limit theirs. And I love how she frames that, you know, as an opportunity for inspiration and seeing what else, you know, watching someone else's journey and having that light you up. Like,
because it does. It starts in youth, right? It starts with, like, are you getting the higher grades than that person? Are you know, it's a race. And then are you playing more than that person? Are you starting or are you a bench person? Like, do you start? Mm-hmm. Well, that's that, right?
Yep. Exactly. How many that's all I care about.
For? What are your stats? And then, you know, and then it moves on. Like, we are from the strength conditioning background, and it's gotten better, but it used to be like they would hire one token female. Mm-hmm. One female, okay, we got our quota. Now we're good. Yep. You know, we're going to hire the best person for this job. It was like, we need one woman for Title IX. And then, you know.
And so how are you marketing this thing, right? Like, everyone in the world needs to be reading this. You launched it earlier, last week, and it's doing great. How can people get it? How are you marketing it? Like, how do we get this to everyone?
So it's on Amazon. It's Dear Her. You can buy it on Amazon. And a lot of people in the fitness industry, because that's where I'm from and I have a lot of connections there, they're buying them and they have them at their gyms, at their studios. They're gifting them to parents, to their athletes, their clients. They're giving them there. We have plans to contact like all the young girl organizations out there, nonprofits, etc., schools. Get out to the schools, organizations. We are going to do a world tour of like starting with our connections. So I have hundreds of athletes that I train here in the South Bay area. So we are going to do like a Dear Her clinic, and it's going to be athletic performance, but it also mindset, meditation, like a retreat per se for girls. We're going to do one in the DC area because D lives there. Mm-hmm. We're going to do one in Santa Fe, New Mexico, because a lot of our old teammates are coaches now in Santa Fe, where we're from.
So good.
And then in Seattle, because Dee played basketball in Seattle. And so a lot of her old teammates are there and they have a lot of connections. And then whoever else wants us.
I love it.
We will go. You know, we have a lot of gyms already. When I shared at the mastermind retreat that I was at last weekend, people were like, we want you to come out to our gym, to our local community, and bring in the girls and let's do a seminar there. So, you know, we're going everywhere.
Dude, I'm going to link that in the show notes, the link to Amazon. But if they want to contact you to reach out about, you know, hosting something, because that sounds just, you guys listening, like, there is something so special about the magic, we call it the magic of being in the room. Like, it's really cool to listen to podcasts, read things, you know, social media, you can connect with a bunch of people around the world. But when you go to something and the energy is there and you feel it, it is incredible. And one of the things that's so special that I've learned through teaching, and one of the reasons I started that hashtag P45-0 group, was because there is something very different, very unique, very special about a room that is just women. And again, I'm not here to, like, you know, talk bad about men or anything like that. This is just, I'm focusing on the task at hand. When there's a group of women, whether it's because they feel it's a safer space and, you know, they don't have to worry about as much of what they're saying or looking, whatever, the energy is different. And what comes out of it and what each person can take from it. And what I found, what each person is more willing to share and give of themselves and just be open to is different. So, you know, you can read the book. I want you guys to buy the book, read the book. But I also want you guys to reach out to Leslie and really consider hosting this or doing an offshoot or a pop-up or just being inspired by this, because you can really create some phenomenal change with this. And I love that she just keeps hitting on that, you know, the mindset component. And you guys in the you know, the physical therapy clinical world, like, everything is swinging to mindset and the biopsychosocial model, the psychosocial component, because we're realizing we're treating humans. So this is like just so perfectly timed, and just, this is something that I think is truly, truly special. So if they want to reach out to you, Leslie, and set something up, how can they do that?
Yeah, so they can email me at Leslie@Convos, C-O-N-V-O-S, with coaches.com. Or if you go to our website, Convos with Coaches, there's a Dear Her link there.
Okay.
But if I could comment on what you just said with the emotions, sure, with the PT and all that, you know, I deal with a lot of high school youth, and male and females. And I, you know, if you've seen it, if you play a sport and you play hard, you're most likely going to get injured and you're going to have to go see a PT. And I believe that PTs must address this emotional and spiritual, like psychological component to going in. They have to prepare them for what they're going to be feeling, what they're going to be thinking, you know, because they're going to be guarding themselves. You know, take, for example, ACL, right? A girl or a guy tears their ACL. And you give them exercises, and they're doing the exercises with you in your clinic or in your studio. It's going to be a whole different ballgame when they're on the field or on the court, and there's people coming at them or coaches yelling at them. They're going to have different types of tightness, different kinds of fear. You know, the biggest thing is fear. Is they're going to be like, I'm going to hurt myself again. That's the number one fear. Or number two is they're not going to be as good as they were before, or it's going to hold them back. You know, so
absolutely.
So they have, you have to address that. You have to,
absolutely.
You have to let, like, get them ready for what's going to happen in their mind. And then also I would ask, please, please, please ask your athletes, what do their practices look like? What do their games look like? I have had athletes that have gone and worked with PTs and they came back and they're, I'm cleared. I'm like, you're cleared? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And then we start moving and it's bothering them. I'm like, well, what were you doing with them? And he would tell me, or she would tell me, whoever it was. And I'm like, you weren't running? You weren't walking? Like, how can you be cleared for basketball and they didn't watch you run? You know?
Yep.
So please talk to them about what their coaches are going to make them do, because there's a gap. There's a huge gap in our industry between PTs and training and coaching. And everyone's doing their own thing, but they're not communicating and they're not talking. And there's a huge problem. And the ones that end up suffering is the athletes or the people. So, you know, if you're not going to talk to the coach, talk to the athlete to find out what's going on.
Yes, 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 yes. She's speaking our language, friends, bridging that gap and making things relevant. Like, how are you training these people? You know, as someone, I was an ACL, you know, I call myself as an ACL. I tore my ACL, and then the first sport that I tore it playing basketball. I was a soccer player, but tore it playing basketball. And the sport that I came back to because of when I did it was basketball. And dude, they can have you doing some shit in PT, but when you step onto the court, it's totally different. And like you said, that fear, the fear of re-injury, the fear of not being as good as you were before, the fear of losing scholarships, just the fear of anything will change things. And if we don't treat and train that psychosocial component of a human when we're doing rehab, you are missing the majority of things. Like, the tissue is going to heal. Listen, not PTs, right? The tissue is going to heal regardless. Whether you put your hands on that person or not, the tissue is going to heal. They're probably going to get their range of motion back. If they're young and they do some stuff, they'll get it back. It won't maybe come back as fast, but like, they're going to get it back. One of the main things that we can do as, whether you're a PT, a coach, you know, the hybrid model, you're both, whatever, is prepare that person mentally. And that's one of your biggest roles, is how can you prepare this person mentally? Like, yes, I think we've all gotten really good at the physical part of it. Like, you can put people through drills, you can make them kind of, you know, sport specific, things like that. But if you don't address that mindset part, you're setting them up for failure. So Leslie, thank you for bringing that up. That's like, That's huge.
Yeah. And it totally shifts just like on your environment. Like I was training this one girl one time, shout out to Sarah. She's an amazing athlete. And we were working on box jump. It was like a 36 inch box jump. She actually talks about this in the Dear Her book. And she couldn't get it. And we finally got it. And she was like, yes, right? Because she had that fear. Because you know your brain's going, you can't jump that high, girl. You can't jump that high. You know, you're But she got it. And then we kept doing it. And she got it. She had it nailed. No problem. We moved the box to a different room. Same exact box. You know, just in a different room. And to the brain, you're picking up different visuals. You're picking up different stimuli. And she couldn't do it. And so I showed her how our brain, like fear, can get in the way of performance just by something looking different. It's the same It's the same thing, but it just looks a little different. And then your brain goes to protect you, like,
That's it. Contextual. I mean, you know, I had an amazing, you guys listening, I had an amazing conversation with Leslie when we were out in D.C. And it was we were talking about these exact things and, you know, how context is king, how the nervous system is queen, context is king. And you change the context up and queen's like, nope, I don't feel safe. How are you going to do it? And so part of our role as coaches, whatever you want to call yourself, is to try and, one, to realize that at all. Because if you don't think about that, you're never going to train it. Because you're just like, how is your leg moving? Can you bend it in this very safe, isolated state when you're lying on a table and there's nice music playing? We don't think about it like, oh, what about if you're, you know, X, Y, and Z is happening? So I just, one, this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring her on. Two, this is why I'm so pumped about this book. And three, that's exactly why I want you guys to reach out to her so we can, you know, bring her in, spread the message, like, have these conversations going. Speaking of conversations, though, Les, what can you talk a little bit more about Convos with Coaches, just the business? What is it in general?
Yeah, so, well, the one thing was we wanted to, like we talked about, bring awareness to strength conditioning and to females that they can do just as good a job as males. Mm-hmm. I love my males. All my mentors have been males, and they've been great. But you'll get, like, some – like microaggressions, I guess you could say. Sometimes, like, I'll have a coach and they'll be introducing me and they'll go, you will never believe this when I tell you this. This is our strength and conditioning coach. It's really amazing, you know? Like, why do you have to say that? just say this is just
that's
amazing.
It.
Or I've had people like, we want to work with you guys. You are amazing. You're great at what you do. You know, passionate. You're knowledgeable. And it doesn't even bother us that you're female. You know.
Yeah. Is this real life?
This is real life. And so we wanted to like bring awareness out there, and then bring another side, because I believe that anyone, regardless, is if they're passionate about what they do and they care about the person, they're going to be good. You know?
There you go.
So you have to figure that out. And so we wanted to bring a voice to that. So that was the podcast idea. And then the other thing is that we felt like we wanted to be able to speak more, because there's not a lot of opportunities. We've turned in our application for places to speak and to talk, because we are tired of not seeing women represented in strength clinics or seminars and things. I found a high school strength conditioning group of people, and I was like, cool, I didn't know there was a high school one. Like, I knew there was a college one, but I looked and they were all male. In the picture, there was like two females, and I was like, what? And then I emailed, and I still haven't heard back from them, but I emailed like, why isn't there any female representatives in the high school strength conditioning? Like, that's what I do now. I help out with schools, you know? And I didn't hear back. But so we wanted to say, well, okay, if you're not going to bring us on to speak, then we're going to speak ourselves.
I love it.
Yeah, so do our own clinics and seminars, basically talking about different types of training. Like, we have MVP, which is the mindset, and then P, which is vision, because we believe in the vision training, and then P, performance, all the performance side.
Love it.
And so, you know, so we do those areas. But also it's to teach people not only what to train, because there's so many X's and O's. Like, you can Google how to you get stronger, how to get faster. Like, you can find it.
Yeah.
But there's so much that's not taught or said about like, how do you train? Like, mm-hmm. how, you know, what do you say to them? And like our jobs, like for me personally with youth, my job is to get them comfortable in handling threatening situations. My job is to get them confident in handling stressful situations and to believe in themselves that they can do it. And so whether we're in the weight room or on the field or on the track or on the beach, they can get become friends with the challenge and become friends with that uncomfortable feeling that they have, and to know that they're not going to die, that they're okay, and to push through it. And there's a limit to what you do, right? You can't go too much because you'll break down, mm-hmm. but you can't go too little where it's too easy. So it's finding just that right amount. So that's like the how. And we all have our individual strengths. Like that's my sister's. She is on laugh, move, and play. That's her philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. She's really into getting people to just enjoy life. Like move, enjoy it. She's not really on the, you know, X's and O's of training. Like we know that. But how do you laugh? How do you play? Like how do you move and enjoy moving? And then Kim's very holistic, and she's a bodybuilder, so she has that whole route of discipline that's not my alley.
Yes.
So we just wanted to bring all the different aspects forward for people and to see, like, you know what? Be you. Be unique. Yes. And be what works for you. And you bring yourself to your business, yourself to your coaching, yourself to your teaching, and not be ashamed of it and not be afraid of it.
So good. You guys, so good. It's honestly a total MVP team, too. I know that, you know, it's your acronym for what you believe, your philosophies and what you believe and what you're training, but it's an MVP lineup of total powerhouse females. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to social media, man. I first met Kim through social media, I think just because of, I'm trying to think of what our original tie is. Like I met up with her when I was living in Culver City, and we had a lunch with her and two other women, Cairo and a PT. And I'm trying to think if that's where, I think I just met her through social media. And then Leslie and Kim were, they were gracious enough to bring me on their podcast, and they actually came to my house, my beautiful apartment here. And we did it, they brought like lights, and it was like a really cool experience. And we did it live. And I was just like, again, one, the magic of the, you know, being in the room. But, you know, I was going to start my podcast, and it was just incredible to be around these truly passionate people who believed in their message and believed in their product and were just willing to go above and beyond. And, you know, you see it with this Conference with Coaches platform that they've created where, you know, it's like, oh, you won't give me a mic, then I'm going to build my own stage. I'm going to get my own equipment and I'll do it myself. And I'm going to help other people to realize you're not alone. You can do this too if you want. Like, let me lead the way. Let me be the tip of the spear. And you guys are just a total powerhouse, total MVPs. Like, thank you for what you're doing, Leslie, truly.
Thank you. And can I speak on that real quick with
go ahead.
MVPs or people? When you are with a group of people, like-minded, and you're sharing in your journey, there's a connection, there's a power, there's an energy that is built between you guys, right? This is magic. But it's no different between a PT and a client or a coach and their athlete. Like when you're actually sharing and talking about their dreams and their goals and your struggles and their struggles and how do you get there, when you're actually talking about the human experience, like there's this special bond that is there, and it's like this extra energy that will help move your goals forward. So you know, I would make sure you just address that and don't just talk about, okay, we're going to do this exercise and this is how we're going to do
it. Yes.
But make it powerful and personal for them.
Yes. I think that I love that I'm seeing the gap being closed between, you know, prehab to rehab, prehab, performance, all those things. But I really encourage, and I'm working on an episode, I'm trying to like flesh it out, but I'm working on an episode in terms of physical therapists viewing themselves as coaches. Because at the end of the day, it's what we really are doing. Like, mm-hmm. We're not doing surgery on people. Like the main way and the best way you're going to have your effect on someone is by forming that connection, establishing that relationship, getting that buy-in. You know, when you think about the relationship a coach has with a player, it's far more symbiotic, if you will, than it is with a traditional PT and a patient. All right, when it's a PT and a patient, the patient comes in and you know, in the less than ideal model, they kind of expect the PT to do all the work and that they're like going to fix them. Like it's a car or something. Whereas when you have a coach and a player, the coach knows like that, I mean, excuse me, the player knows the coach is not playing for you. The coach is not the one that wins the game for you. Like they are facilitating this process. You have to go and do it and put in the work, which is realistically the model that we really want as physical therapists. And so the advice that you're getting from Leslie as a coach is what we need to be bringing into our sessions. And that's how we need to be framing things. Like, you know, I hesitate to say it, but not really. Like, PTs have a chip on their shoulder and they want that doctor title. They want the, like, respect because, you know, we paid a shit ton of money for school. But at the end of the day, what you really want is, the outcomes. You want your patient to get better. And the best way that's going to happen is by forming that relationship, getting that buy-in, getting that person to work for you and with you, and not expecting, you know, they're not expecting you to be doing all this stuff to them. So when what Leslie's putting out there and this book and convos with coaches, that stuff is so invaluable, and it's what we really need to be bringing into our physical therapy sessions. Like, you don't need to go to more continuing ed that's about like how to dry needle someone or how to use tools and tape. Like, I love what I do and who I work for, but I would love to see more physical therapists going and learning the soft skills, which Leslie and some other coaches, especially the one she's been talking about, are teaching, because that's the stuff that at the end of the day is really going to make the biggest difference.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes, please, please. Yes.
So you guys, like I said before, I will link everything in the show notes. I will link the website. I will link Leslie's email. I will link where you can get the book. One more time, the name of the book, Leslie?
Dear Her.
Gosh, it's just like, I'm going to try and do whatever I can to hype this thing up and blast it all on social media. But this is the kind of thing that, you know, buy it, read it, buy it for someone else. I know when I, there was a book, it was like Bedtime Stories for Rebel Girls. And I don't have any kids. Thank goodness. I have a plant, two plants. That's it. But when that book came out, I saw it and I bought it from all of my friends who had daughters. I think it's perfect for anyone, but anyone who had daughters. So I encourage you, this is the same thing with this book. If you know, you work with these athletes, you know someone that is this athlete, you've worked with them in the past, you're thinking about working with them from the coaching or you know, clinical side of things. You have a friend who has, you know, a daughter. You have a friend who is a daughter, whatever. There's just so much opportunity here. Please share this message with people. The times are changing and you see it with these commercials and they're so freaking powerful. So let's do whatever we can to contribute to that movement for real, guys. It'll all be in the show notes.
Yes. Thank you so much. And
oh, for sure.
Yeah, it is like in the back, it says, you know, we give our girls syllabi and curriculums for their education. We make them playbooks for their athletics. But what do we give them to support their growth through life? And this is just a way for girls to do that. Because, you know, I was a rough teenager. Like, I'm so grateful for my parents that they survived. But I was rough, you know. And I was going through a hard time, and I didn't talk about it because I had to be tough and I had to be strong. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to see me cry, and I'm fine, and I'm fine, and I'm fine. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that's how it was. And I struggled. And then when I stopped playing sports, it was like, okay, well, who am I? Like, sports saved me for a long time. But then when I didn't have it, it was tough, you know? And then I turned to like alcohol for my mm-hmm. help. And it was not, yeah. like I almost died with my drinking of life support. Like, not good idea, you know? Oh, so you had to, I had to look at myself and be like, how am I living? What are you doing? You know? And that's when I first came to life, is when I started looking at that. And I wish I would have had something like this earlier.
Yes, yes. Like, Leslie's just giving it to you so real, guys. Like, you guys out there, you know, the majority of my audience, you guys are movers in some way. Movement is so integral to your identity. So if you can help people out with that, you know, like, what is it like to be younger and struggle, or to stop doing this thing that was our identity, and then who are we? Like, I've gone through the same things. Like, I struggled with collegiate athletes. I played at D1 school, but I struggled. You know, you go from high school where you are the shit to college where you are shit. Not the shit. You're nothing. And you're like, oh, well then, and, you know, feeling like you could do more and this feeling like the coach doesn't really see you for the athlete that you are, and you just start to hate the sport, you know, you just struggle. And if you could imagine, if I could have, you know what I know now and be able to tell my younger self that there's so much value in just knowing that, that it's going to get better or that someone else has experienced it and they made it through. Mm-hmm. They've created this for you guys, or for people you know. Like, so share this, please. This is such a valuable resource. Such a valuable resource.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. It's we're hitting the 45-minute mark, which is actually mind-blowing. It's gone really fast. So I like to kind of keep it under an hour so people can listen to it on the ride, whatever the heck they're doing. But is there anything else you want to share with the people? Anything at all?
I think the main thing is the message which is behind the book, which is the message for everyone, is that you're not alone. And, you know, whatever struggles you're going through, they will become your strength. Just reach out for help and ask. You know, there's someone that has gone through what you've gone through. And so don't be afraid to talk or to share and to go forward. You know, find support, find help, find coaches, find mentors to help you through it. And then also to laugh more and to enjoy the journey. We're so serious all the time, you know, like, okay, I'm going to take this class, I'm going to take this course, and I'm going to pay this bill. And then because we learn to, like, we're in survival zone. We're in survival zone all the time.
All the time.
But when you're there, you're not enjoying life and you're not in the performance area. And that's what we're trying to be, is an example to our clients and to our athletes and to our students and to other people, how to live and thrive in life. Well, that we need to do that ourselves. So laugh more, play more, and move more.
So freaking good. I laugh every time I watch your stories, man. You guys listening to this, follow Leslie. It's LeslieT_CoachC. I'll put it in the show notes. Her Instagram, the stories, and God is getting back at you with that daughter that you have. He has a sense of humor.
I know. I'm worried. I know.
She is a firecracker, and I love it. And just the commentary, the stories that Leslie posts, you can't not laugh. You just, I'm thinking of the one with the birthday party and that kid fell down and I was
Oh yeah, they were playing soccer and she was like running, she just tipped and fell.
She just ate it.
Kids are awesome, man.
They are. And just to see the light that she has, Leslie, and the courageousness and the spirit that she has, it, you know, very much comes from you. I see in what you're doing. Like, so you guys give her a follow. I'll link it in the show notes. You can also follow Convos with Coaches. I'll link those in the show notes, but it's just such a well-rounded everything that you're going to get. You get motivation, you get inspiration, you'll get laughs, you're going to get that knowledge. It's everything. I was super pumped to bring Leslie on. I've been super pumped to have her in my life since I met her. I don't know. I guess it's all the same here to me with the weather. I'm like, I don't know. It was like 5 years ago. It was last year. I don't know. So.
And I just want to say much love to you, Shante, too, because you've created this movement of this with the mass, with your podcast, that people are seeing that they aren't alone and that there is hope and you can enjoy it and you can be unique. So the whole message that I said, you're living that and you're giving that to other people. So keep it up.
Thank you, Leslie. This chick, isn't she number one here? Aces. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up for real this time. I'm putting all of the stuff in the show notes. If you liked this episode, if you loved it, I am not asking for a subscription, a like, any stars. I don't need any of that. If you enjoyed this, I want you to click the link in the bio and then go and buy the book, Dear Her. That's it. Go and buy the book, read it, and then move forward in life with that message. All right, friends, officially ending the episode. Until next time, Leslie and Maestro